Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
All right, thank you, David.
Good.
Hello, listeners, how are you?
Right, fine, be like that. We're going to talk about films for a bit, probably approximately half an hour.
Let's just paint the picture.
Okay.
An email going. Do you get that? My agent, I'm going to change subject, my agent primarily contacts me by email.
Yes.
Which means every time my phone buzzes, there is like a sense of
a little
hope
spike
that
of
might be work.
Adrenaline and endorphins that is then immediately destroyed when it's just from LinkedIn.
I would say, yeah. One in every 200
yeah.
is times my phone buzzes is from my agent. Four in every 200 is Domino's Pizza. Domino's, what's it? Peach and Finchley.
Yeah.
Who were very, very keen for my custom. He had to spot me there going
another
there
email going, stop shitting on our doorstep.
Twitter for business.
Oh, yeah, Twitter for business. How you can expand your Twitter profile. Yeah.
LinkedIn as well. Somebody
who leaked all of our passwords this month. Did you see that?
Oh, yes, I got that. Yeah, they leaked all. Yep. Thank you, LinkedIn.
Yep. And I literally never use you. I don't know why you exist. And you bother me more than any other website.
And reminding me about someone I don't know has asked to be linked in with me.
Yeah. The CEO of a company that does security for farms really wants to connect with you. What?
Who else? Okay. eBay, they're often the cause of my phone buzzing.
Sure.
And Amazon, making me feel slightly uncomfortable by, it's almost as if someone's broken into my house, gone through all my things and tried to work out what I'd like. Without my really asking me.
Yeah, how accurate are they at doing that as well?
Not especially, but because you know, if you buy presents for someone,
yes,
if you buy a present for a nephew or a niece,
yeah,
then suddenly you
all the recommendations of stuff you've been looking at. Robin Ince, the comedian Robin Ince, once left his Amazon account logged in on a computer at the BBC that I was using, so I just used it to rate a load of Christian fiction 5 stars.
Yes.
I'm sure he'd love that.
Good old Amazon.
Good old Amazon. Yes, well, we're going to talk about some films. You were going to paint a picture for us. I was intrigued what that was going to be.
Of what the scene is, because I imagine
if
I was listening to this podcast, I would think two chiselled intellectuals.
Yeah.
Sitting at maybe a breakfast bar, looking out onto the horizon of, you know, mountains and the sea and some mountains.
I mean, that is a well-located house.
With one of those infinity pools that goes off
sure.
into the edge.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would be exactly right.
You'd be exactly wrong. If I'm to describe Marek, Marek's on lounging on the sofa, rather like a Roman emperor's wife.
Yes.
A sort of chaise longue affair with a cup of coffee and his phone that he's twitching. There's Buddy, who's doing the same on another sofa. Two Roman emperor's wives discussing the people chatting outside the front door. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What's upsetting you, Buddy?
There's some people chatting outside the kitchen window.
Do you want me to move them on?
No, it's all right. That'll only encourage him that his behaviour was correct. There we go, he's calming down a bit. No? He's gonna... There we go. No. There we go.
This has been a... Let's get to talking about film, shall
sure,
we?
Sure, okay. Well, that's enough picture painting point. So, you went to the cinema this week.
Yes, I did. I went to see a quite an unusual film. It's called Tale of Tales, or in the original, I think it's Italian title, Il racconto dei racconti.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which is nicer, I think.
Yeah. Conto di conti.
Il racconto...
Racconto.
Yeah.
As in recounting.
Yes. Il racconto di racconti.
Okay.
It sounds like a sort of a spaghetti
dish. The recounting of the recountancy.
Yes.
Okay.
So this... The best way I would describe this, it's a bit like Grimm's Fairy Tales. You know, in the 1980s, I can't know if you remember this, Jim Henson did a series...
The Storyteller.
Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic. It had John Hurt in heavy character makeup and a puppet dog who were telling, in one series, old Greek fairy tales, and in another sort of Grimm's and miscellaneous European ones. Brilliant.
Was it... I look back on that, I know it was with nostalgia, but I think I remember it being absolutely brilliant.
I've seen one of them again, and I thought it was excellent. The one where a soldier gets a magic bag that can have any size of thing put in it, and he ends up using it to capture Death, the Grim Reaper.
Oh, yes, yes, I've seen that.
Because anything you say get in the bag has to get into the bag. And then it's just a one.
It's a bit kidnappy, isn't it?
It is a bit kidnappy, but it's about why the world needs death, ultimately. Like, there's a brilliant section where it says something like star-crossed lovers threw themselves off cliffs only to have a very long walk back. It's brilliant. No, really good. Really good.
So this felt to me very much like the film version of that. It's based... So it's...
The trailer made it look excellent. Like, weird and non-American, if you know what I mean.
It doesn't look American.
Felt European. And just odd cast of Salma Hayek, Toby Jones. Is it Vincent Cassell is in it?
Yes, yes. Yeah, so it's directed by Matteo Garrone. I'm sorry, my pronunciation's awful. An Italian director... And it's based upon a book by fairy tales by a bloke called Giambattista Basili. I'm sorry, my Italian people are probably getting really offended by my pronunciation. So I enjoyed it. I went with my girlfriend and she loved the escapism of it. It's 2 hours and 13 minutes, so I think it's overly long.
Yeah.
And it just felt... the same as three stretched out episodes of The Storyteller.
Okay.
With a bit more budget.
Is there a twist to it, or is it just sort of Grimm style fairy tale?
See, I was held by it, thinking, so it's three different tales.
Yeah.
All intercut with each other. They are very slow. So one's about Salma Hayek's character can't have children, so she makes a deal by eating a sea monster's heart and has these, and she has a child, and someone has a twin child. A maid has to have a twin child, some sort of weird reason.
Okay, okay.
Another bit's about Tommy Jones sort of basically falling in love with a giant flea that he's raised.
Okay.
And lastly, it's about Vincent Cassell fancying, who's basically just some Lothario king who's a sex addict, falling in love with these old ladies who have a nice voice, so he thinks they're pretty.
I believe Vincent Cassell as a sex addict.
He was very good and very funny at it. It just wasn't tight enough. And I sort of hoped, you know, when you have three stories, you think they're going to intertwine, they're going to be a brilliant denouement.
There's going to be a reason to their telling.
Yes, and they're all going to fit together and something excellent's going to happen. That doesn't really ever happen. There's no intertwining. The stories are quite good, but that it could have been an hour and a half. That was brilliant, rather than 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's like Wild Tales that I saw a while back in the cinema. It was Argentinian film of short stories that was very good. And there was no cathartic release with that either, other than they were thematically all about revenge, I guess. But it was, it's an odd serialized format, isn't it?
That I mean, there's no point in this being a. It could have been three separate short films.
It seems like a better idea for a TV show.
It just the same as The Storyteller.
Yeah,
but the sets were absolutely gorgeous.
It looks good from the trailer.
Oh, they're brilliant. I think I don't know. I mean, it must have been CGI stuff, but it was absolutely brilliant. And it's really good CGI can fit well into this world.
Yeah,
with slightly magical, slightly heightened fantasy.
I like this new-ish era of CGI we've entered into, which is set augmentation.
That's where it works, rather
than doing the entire thing in CG. You know, it's just like putting a little frill in the on the horizon, or extending a room longer than there was any point building, or stuff like that. But
yeah, so
the actors are still in a space, and they're still, you know.
Exactly. I mean, I remember saying that the first CGI film I really liked was The Martian. Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Where the landscapes looked amazing. And I'm underscoring your point. This was just making these fantastic castles that you couldn't have before. They're not the centrepiece of the action. They're adding to the action.
But I wonder if we would have got to this point if it weren't for George Lucas's Star Wars prequels that got so overexcited by what you could do with CGI that everyone then had plain to see examples of how it loses its soul somehow. But Peter Jackson, is among the same. Like, the first Lord of the Rings film gets it about right, and then it slowly gets shitter and shitter until he makes King Kong, which is so boring and overblown with
the
CGI.
The Hobbit was
And
terrible.
Then The Hobbit comes later, but no, finding that balance, it can be a good tool. It can be.
It never really feels as though it is CGI. That's the secret to it.
Yeah.
It's always in the background. The actors are brilliant in this. Toby Jones.
Oh, he's always good, isn't he?
He's amazing. Really charismatic. And there's a young girl who plays his daughter. BB Cave, her name is. I thought she was brilliant as well. If you want to go for escapism to the cinema, which I think in these strange times, it's really nice to not have something that is gloomy, or you want to just leave the world, which is one of the favourite things. You know, I've talked about this before. This is really good escapism. I just wish that it had given me that reward it promised of tying itself together.
Yeah.
It would have been brilliant.
Is it an uplifting piece as well?
No, it's very odd.
Okay.
It's very peculiar, and you don't know what's going to happen next. There's no sense of logic or that does. I mean, in Grimm's fairy tales, there's almost a moral to the tales a story of, you know. This does not.
They're often cautionary tales, aren't
they? Yeah, there's a little bit of sense of that, but I quite like that part of the, you know, and this was, even the Greek myths seem to have that a little bit.
Oh yeah, but Greek myths seem mostly to be about how to welcome guests into your home, or bad things will happen.
Yes, well, I think
there's a lot of etiquette around accepting guests.
A very good point, but you know, the CGI is great. The sets are amazing. The costumes are fantastic. So the art direction and the cinematography is brilliant. It's
Wouldn't
a really
it be fun
good cinema
to be in
film.
A film where, you know, had proper budgets for costumes and set? I mean, just to be on set in one of those dressed as like a mighty wizard would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There
should be, I think, more of these style of storytelling Greek myth films. This feels like the right way to do it, whereas you had...
The Greek myths have all gone that way of immortals and everything since 300, basically, of just, like, athletic bodybuilders jumping around a CGI environment, killing CGI things with a massive 3D glowing spear. And just like,
they've
that's
all turned into boring. They've always turned to superhero
things. Yeah, they have.
Like Jack and the...
the Giant Slayer or whatever it's called.
It's the wrong tone to it. This feels, it's got this Pan's Labyrinth tone, which is why everyone loved Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah,
it was
properly
mystical and scary, magical. Yeah. And that seems to be the right tone for fairy tales.
But that old, more old-fashioned, the Alice in Wonderland-y feel of, this is unnerving for adults because it's so strange, but kids would probably find it less unnerving because kids are sort of more open to everything, you know. It's that maybe this is more a child's world than ours, you know.
It seems to be a better way of doing it. The old Charlie and the Chocolate Factory of Gene Wilder.
Oh, properly weird if you actually look at it through adult's eyes, but through a kid's eyes, it's like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, but I think that this tonally, I love the tone of it. And the budget was only something like 14.5 million, which I was amazed by.
Yeah.
If you think they're making, last week you said they're making Independence Day for, was 165 million.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I read 200 million, but yeah.
If you cut the amount of sausages they had on set.
Yeah, they had about 40 million worth of sausages.
So I give it 7 Marics because I think I just wish it was more satisfying ending.
Right.
But I would dearly love to see more films like this, and I just makes me want to watch The Storyteller again.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Tale of Tales, still in cinemas, I believe. Probably.
What? People don't like writing letters at all, do you?
They don't like writing letters at all. But we, I mean, it's not even worth doing the jingle, Marit. They haven't written letters.
Well, people have. There are some things on our Facebook page.
Wow, well, read that. But please, people, please, write us some letters. Let us know what you've been watching. You can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com or go to filmfandango.com and click on the box where you write a message and it sends it to us. Please do that. It's our favourite bit of the show, frankly. So that'd be nice. But what have people been saying on Facebook?
Some people like writing on Facebook. But mainly Bill Boswell.
What's Bill Boswell been saying?
He said, The Guest is currently on Netflix. If you want to see it, it's Adam Wingard, the director of Your Next, is also seeing. I've just read it really badly.
You have? I haven't a clue what you're saying.
He recommended The Guest on Netflix.
Okay, well, I took your recommendation and shoved it up my hole. No, I watched the film. I went out and watched it. Well, didn't go out. I found it on Netflix, as you said. I've seen Your Next as well, if we talk about that briefly as well. Have you seen that? It's his previous film. It got a lot of plaudits as a sort of...
The horror one? Was it set in the house?
Yeah, it's a home invasion film where people, you know, basically with a family.
Dinner party?
No, it's more sort of isolated community where they're sort of shut off from the world.
I started watching it. I don't know if I liked it.
It's people with masks coming in and basically psychologically torturing them.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, it's not great, in my opinion. But this one, The Guest, it's from 2014. It stars a guy from Downton Abbey. His name... Dan Stevens, who is chubbier in Downton Abbey and then is really ripped in this. So that's confusing. But it basically is about a man called David... knocking on the door.
That's your name?
That's my name, yeah. So I immediately warmed to him.
Yeah.
But he knocks on the door of a family and basically says that he knew their now dead son from the army, and he was with him when he died, and he wanted to say that...
He's got a watch that's been up his bum.
It's not that film. You've seen that film. Wanted to say that he loves them. And he basically... ingratiates his way into this family with him. There's a mother and father and a young boy and a young girl. Anyway, that's the beginning, that's the setup. And then, but it's you, the whole time you're going, is what he's saying true? And also, he's creepy. But nice, he's one of these people who's sort of sociopathically nice, but always says the right thing to that person for them to like him. You know what I mean?
Does he work in TV?
He doesn't work in TV yet, but I think he'd be good at it.
Yeah.
I think he'd be good at working in TV. But anyway, that's the setup, and it basically... It plays like a horror movie, even though it's a thriller, which is quite interesting, just in the structure of it and how it goes along. And I won't spoiler it for what happens, But it's an interesting film, just as a central character that you end up liking, but also don't trust.
Mm.
And it's a form of home invasion again, really, I suppose, as well. There's that genre thrown in as well, but they don't know they've been invaded, if you know what I mean. They've invited him into their home and continue to welcome him into more and more of their lives.
Does it sustain itself over an hour and a half? Because it doesn't...
It does, because it takes a few turns, you know, when you discover the truth about him and things kick off a bit, as all films do, you know. For me, it slightly loses its way towards the end as it becomes... It takes a few sort of contrived directions in order to be sort of directorially cool.
Like, what do you mean?
As in, they end up at the school... done up for Halloween like a haunted maze. For no real reason other than it would be cool to have a sort of showdown in a haunted maze in Halloween, you know. Mm. And the character starts doing things that don't make any sense for the character just because that sounds...
Well, like buying sausages and stuff.
When he's clearly a vegan. So, it, you know, that really... The amount of sausages he bought, I just didn't buy.
Vegans... I mean, I don't think I've seen a film when... someone's really established himself as a vegan character.
No. No, that's true. Maybe we're just not watching vegan films.
Are there films that are vegan?
I'm sure. I mean, a lot of films aren't vegan because, of course, the amount of meat that catering serves, that cheap meat.
But all the props, that'll be the next thing. Everything in the making of this film.
Yeah.
All the cameras.
A truly vegan film.
Yes.
No leather.
Yep.
Used in the creation of it.
Everything
no
is,
milk.
Everything is vegan.
Because on every shoot I've been on, there's been milk.
Yeah, there'd be no milk.
Or, you know, for your instant coffee or whatever.
Yeah. Totally, even the shoes. I mean, shoes are difficult. Apparently, there's a website that makes vegan shoes because I think they're really hard to make good
leather.
Shoes.
Yeah. Vegan wine is a thing because I didn't know, but... a lot of it is filtered through fish guts still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same as beer. Vegan beer, because they still use fish innards for some reason. Even though these days, surely they don't need to.
Vegan. The vegan. The most boring...
I don't know.
Boring up itself film we've ever seen.
No, it wouldn't be about being vegan. It would just be a vegan film.
You'd have to explain it, why everyone's shoes are rubbish. It would be a bit like that thing when people's phones go in film. There'd be some sort of exposition about why people got rubber shoes.
Yeah.
Have you finished? How many debuts did you give
it? I give it 6, I think. It is enjoyable. The central character is good. And it just... I didn't take me with it its entire journey. You know, it seems quite similar in setup to The Gift. The similarly named The Gift. That I saw a while back, I think came out in the same year, which was Joel Edgerton's writing, directing debut that he's also...
Oh, you really liked that one, didn't you?
And that one is a smarter film. If they sort of start at a very similar point, and one of them goes down an unexpected human route, where human frailty is the baddie, and the other goes down an almost sort of... sci-fi comic book route, you know.
Oh, okay.
So they diverge. They're opposite twins, these films, The Guest and The Gift. Probably make a decent double bill. I prefer The Gift.
Okay.
This is a fun sort of evening watch if, you know, you're flicking through Netflix and you can't find anything that takes your fancy and there's far too many TV series on there and not enough films these days.
Yes, I agree. Now, talking about Netflix, I'm going off on a tangent.
Yeah.
I did the very same thing looking through... I actually watched this film with my mum who recorded it on the telly.
Yeah.
But I've avoided it on Netflix because, which many of our listeners might have done, the one you recommend you watched about a year ago, I think, which was the Tom Hardy thing, Luck.
Yes, Luck, which is about a Welsh construction site manager... driving through the night to go meet a woman who he had an affair with, basically.
Yeah. So it's...
It's all set in a car. It's just a camera on Tom Hardy for the entire film.
And I purposely hadn't watched it because I thought, this just doesn't sound worth watching. And then you go back home to see your parents and you have to find a film. We started watching The Master and...
that's not a with your parents film.
When the first minute, a whacking thing is having sex with a sand sea mermaid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we said maybe this isn't appropriate. Then we watched The Better the Devil Knows You're Dead and open up with Philip Seymour Hoffman having sex with Marisa Tomei. I don't want to watch any of these films with my mum.
Don't pick Philip Seymour Hoffman films. That was your mistake.
So we went for Locke. I thoroughly enjoyed
it. It's great, isn't it?
Did Tom Hardy get nominated for an Oscar for this?
No, I don't believe so.
I think it is, and I've been quite critical of Tom Hardy just doing grunting for a lot of his part, nonsensical...
But he's doing a proper Welsh accent, isn't he?
Ivan Locke, the main character, is such a fascinating lead character.
Yeah.
An inherently good man who's made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels like...
And he's trying to do right by it.
And he's a completely developed character. And it's just him in his car. And it's just the right length. It's really watchable. It's really unique. It's an amazing acting performance.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I loved it.
People who are critics of Tom Hardy, I often see, okay, I can see why, but I don't think you've seen this film or Bronson. And I think that's the reason people love Tom Hardy, is when you actually see him do a proper human, rather than just some comic book character like Mad Max or Bane,
It's so satisfying to see a character refreshingly different from anything else you've seen in film. A normal guy, but... And the fact it's his world is crumbling, and he's doing this lovely Welsh accent, which is... I loved it.
Good characters on the phone as well, because all the other characters are only on his mobile.
So it's Olivia Colman
and the
Irish bloke from Doctor Who.
Andrew Scott. He's from Sherlock.
He's
Moriarty in Sherlock, and he's C in Spectre. And Ruth Wilson as well.
Yeah.
Who's very good. And Tom Holland, the new Spider-Man. And Alice Lowe is in it as well, apparently.
I really recommend clicking on it. If you like me, have had the same thing and think, it just doesn't sound.
Oh, it's probably enticing. Good. It's probably good. And they actually shot it in real time as well. So I think I talked about this at the time in the Locke episode, however many years ago it was. But the other actors were in a hotel room and would just call him at the appropriate time and they'd just do it. And Tom Hardy was just driving round and round this ring road, basically. So that he could, he'd just do it like a play, one take.
The pacing is brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the script is brilliant as well. So I just wanted to sort of, occasionally when you see something good, it's a bit different. I really think, I worried that our listeners would have the same feeling as me and miss out on Locke.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. Tale of Tales. The Guest, and also why not check out Locke, because it's very, very good. If you'd like to write to us, as I've already said, please go to filmfandango.com and write in our contact box from there. And also, we do all of this for free, so if you'd like to keep Film Fandango going, then the same. Go to filmfandango.com, click on the donate button, and whatever you can afford, very much appreciated. It keeps us going.
And I feel a bit guilty about trying to push that last week, pushing that person into changing their will to dying to give us the money.
Yeah, you're like those door knocker con guys who just play the numbers. They'll con one old person into it.
A bit like The Guest.
A bit like The Guest, yeah. Only with an old lady or something. Could be an old man who just misses his son.
And I pretend to be the son.
There are more old ladies though, aren't there, because they live longer.
Yes, there are.
See you next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.